Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Small business owner, you're special among Americans. You are a latter-day pioneer of our society and truly one of America's heroes.
Welcome back, heroes. It's 13 After. I'm Jim Blasingame, Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining us. Our phone number is 888-822-8255, 1-888-822-8255. If you have a question or a comment that you'd like to ask me or our special guest and our good friend this hour, Beverly Williams, the president and the founder of the American Association of Home-Based Businesses, give us a call. If you're working on a home-based business, if you already have one and you have a question, or if you're thinking about one and you'd like to ask something or make a comment, something you've learned that you'd like to share with us, just dial that number. Also, I'd like to give you my website, www.smallbusinessadvocate.com, which is where you can go to find out more about me and more about Beverly and about the show. And you can also hear this show on demand whenever you want to, 24 hours a day from that website. Check it out. Beverly Williams, as I said, is our special guest. Beverly, welcome back to the show.
Well, good morning. Thank you. Glad to be here.
It's always a pleasure. And folks, we're talking about, we're doing a series of success tips for home-based businesses. And these are some tips that Beverly has developed. These are actually available on a cassette. And we'll get her to tell you a little bit about how to get that cassette later on. But we're going down through some of these tips over a period of a few weeks and just covering each one of them in a little bit of detail so that you can hear the conversation that we're having about these success tips. And Beverly, the one that we have today to start with is pricing yourself.
Right.
Very important, critical point.
Well, it is, and it's one of those questions that after everybody gets through asking, what should I do, and what licenses do I need, and so forth, then they get down to the nitty-gritty of, well, what do I charge?
Right.
Particularly since we're talking, most home-based businesses, the majority of them, are service-oriented businesses, which is a little harder to price than a product, because with a product, at least you have a starting point of what it costs you to purchase the pieces or components of that product. But with a service, it comes down to self. You really are selling who you are and what your expertise is. And that's very difficult for people to put a price to.
Well, there are a couple of reasons why. Number one, your frame of reference is what you made per hour at your last job.
Right.
Even if you didn't make an hourly wage, maybe you were on a weekly or a monthly salary, still you had a pretty good idea of what your hourly rate was.
Mm-hmm.
So that was your frame of reference. That's your baseline, and that will get you in trouble as a small business owner, won't it?
Oh, absolutely.
As a consultant.
Absolutely. And I really urge people as well as warn them not to get sucked into looking at behind them.
Yeah.
Unless they've had a business in the past. If they've been an employee, they cannot look at what that take-home check was and say, okay, I'm going to earn this and more from my business and figure out hourly how much, therefore, they're going to charge.
Right.
You have to know a lot of other things, and what you made in the past really makes no difference at all.
And the other thing that happens is you get to thinking about, then when somebody tells you, let's say that Beverly or I tell you what you should be making an hour, what you should be charging, I should say, an hour, then your first thought is, nobody's worth that.
Right.
And you're talking about yourself. But
that was
just,
my
you're just not taking all the factors into consideration
when
you have that attitude.
Well, even when I first sat down about 12 years ago and with the help of a woman teaching a class, figured out, based on some estimates of what I thought it would cost me to run my business, my desktop publishing business at that time, came up with an estimated hourly rate, and I just sat back and said, nobody's ever going to pay me that much money.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And boy, was I wrong. You know, and it was a lack of confidence in my own abilities as well as not knowing what was out there in the industry.
Well, plus the fact that you're pulled by the need to get that first customer.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you something, I discounted my rate to start. I had an initial rate when I started out, but I discounted that to get that first business, and I don't regret that.
Right. Right.
Because I needed to get some experience. I needed to be able to say that I had some clients, because I didn't stay at that discounted rate for very long.
Right.
I mean, just a couple of 3 months.
Right. I did it even a little differently than that. I volunteered my time as a desktop publisher to do some newsletters for my church and for some local community groups, so that I could build a portfolio of examples.
Mm-hmm.
On top of that, that example was in everybody's hands who was on their mailing list.
Right.
So every time that issue went out. And it didn't matter to people on the end user, whether or not I got paid for that. It was the quality and consistency of my work that mattered. So it mattered to me insofar as I wasn't getting paid yet, but it helped, one, to build my confidence, and two, to help build my market.
One of the perspectives that I'd like to set out here, Beverly, is use the restaurant example. How many times have you been in a nice restaurant where you were getting good service and the atmosphere was nice and you were just really enjoying a nice environment and the food was good, and somebody that you were eating with said, "Can you believe they're charging $9 for this salad? There's not more than 50 cents worth of lettuce in that salad.
Uh-huh.
You can buy a whole head of lettuce for 75 cents. Can you believe they're charging $9? Now, that person might have just got through saying, "Isn't this a nice place?"
Mm-hmm.
It has nothing to do with how much, the $9 for the salad has nothing to do, or very little to do with the food. It's what you're getting for, it's the whole package, isn't it?
Is exactly right. And that is a very, very important issue for home-based business people, because so many times they are asked, or they believe they should, charge less than what their competitors are charging because they're home-based and have less of an overhead or startup cost.
Mm-hmm.
And I cannot tell you how strongly I feel about the fact that people are not paying for your location, they are paying for your expertise.
Yes.
A restaurant is different because you are paying for a location.
Mm-hmm.
You are paying for a decor and as well as the food preparation. In a home-based service type of business, you are paying for somebody's expertise, and you do not discount because of your location.
And as a service provider, one of the advantages that they have is they don't have to adopt you.
That's right.
They can hire you and then fire you, so
that's
to
right.
speak. We're going to talk about that a little bit more when we come back. Folks, it's 20 after the hour. We're visiting with Beverly Williams, the president and the founder of the American Association of Home-Based Businesses. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. Stay with us. We'll be right back. All right. We're back. It's 24 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate. Beverly Williams is our special guest and our very good friend. She's the president and the founder of the American Association of Home-Based Businesses. Beverly, I would like for you to give your website and your phone number, please.
All right. The website is www.aahbb.org, O-R-G. That's because we're a nonprofit. And the telephone number is 1-800-447-9710.
And that's where you can go, folks, to find out, to call or to email or check out the website, to find out about you can be part of this organization, this fine organization that Beverly runs, and you can network with other home-based business people. You can find out what's going on in that area and that marketplace, and a lot of good folks. I've met quite a few of Beverly's members and her board members, and they're all quality folks, and you will not regret being part of that organization. $30 a year, right?
That's right.
It's a steal.
It is. We like to think that it's a fairly good bargain, good value for your money. One of the most important things I think about is that, and one of the reasons I started the association was that not just the camaraderie, but the gaining of respect that you get when there is a national association mm-hmm. for a profession, and that's what we hope we have put together. We feel we have done a lot to help increase the awareness as well as the perception.
Yeah,
of home-based business.
And you can participate in that too, folks. That's one of the things you would be doing if you join the AAHBB, is you would be lending your support, financial and moral and otherwise support to this effort, which is important. It's very important because more and more people are starting home-based businesses every day, and there are actually millions of you out there, many below the radar.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are high profile and are on the radar screen, but many, many of them, millions of you, are not even on radar yet. And all the efforts that Beverly and her organization do on behalf of home-based businesses are very important. Let's get back, Beverly, and talk about our discussion about pricing yourself. When we took the break, I was talking about being able to rent someone rather than adopt them. And when I started my consulting business, people said, "What do you do?" And I said, "I'm a business consultant." And they said, "Well, what do you do?" I mean, I got the same question twice.
Right.
And so I had to come up with something that would sort of stop those questions, because it was almost like they'd asked me the same question maybe three or four times.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, "I'm a vice president. You can rent."
Mm-hmm.
And that little phrase said everything to them.
Right.
And they quit asking me that question.
Right.
They started asking me about what they could rent me for.
Right.
And the thing that told them was, and that I explained to them what that meant was, that you have got a project that you need to have done, but if you're a certain size company, you can't afford to have an executive or a manager that would know how to do that. All in small companies, the executives and the management are typically industry specific. They're
mm-hmm.
experts in their industry, not in these other things that every company needs to have done from time to time.
Right.
And so these people would rent me for that. Now, the point I'm making is not to talk about what I do as much as the concept, and that is that whenever they needed someone to help them write a proposal, then they would bring me in. I'd be there for 5 hours or 20 hours or whatever, and then I would go away.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in order to have that availability, the availability of my time, in order to make sure that I was there when they needed me, they had to pay a premium over what they would have paid an employee on an hourly basis.
Right.
But they didn't pay me any benefits. They didn't have to provide me with an office or a desk or a secretary or a company car or any of those things. So the truth is, and to me, Beverly, the way you sell your what you might consider to be a premium price is that in the long run, they're going to get this service for their company, and you're actually going to save them money.
Well, and it does come down to what's in it for your customer. That's what they really want to know.
Mm.
How does it apply to me? How is it going to make me better or more beautiful or richer or whatever the benefit is to the client? They want to know that up front, and if it's enough of a value to them, they'll pay whatever price you're charging, as long as it's certainly within reason or you can show that it's worth more than the standard in the industry. I think the biggest concern that people have is deciding, well, what is it going to cost me to do business? And too many of them say, well, it's not going to cost me a whole lot because I've already got a desk and I've got a computer. I can just sit down and start.
Mm-hmm.
They need to be aware that there are a lot of costs involved, including those benefits that used to be paid for by the employer. You now have to provide for yourself.
Absolutely. And we're going to talk about that when we come back after these messages. It's 29 after. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. Our guest is Beverly Williams. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We're back. It's 33 after. Thank you very much for joining us. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. And our guest is our good friend Beverly Williams, the president of the American Association of Home-Based Businesses. We're talking about how to price yourself, how to price your product in your home-based business. And we're really spending time, Beverly, talking about the pricing of your services, because if you're selling a product, there are a lot of points of reference in the marketplace for products.
Mm-hmm.
If you're selling jewelry or makeup or tires or mm-hmm. Caterpillar, you know, bulldozers or whatever out of your
right.
home, there's a lot of competition out there that sets the price, or your company, the people that you buy your products from, set the price sometimes for those items.
Correct.
But
yes.
The service part, that's the tricky part. That when you're providing an hour of service for an hour of pay, then that's the tricky part.
Right.
And I had just got through talking about what the customer, why they should expect to pay a premium for your rate. And then you were talking about how you need to pay attention to what it's actually costing you to provide
mm-hmm.
to provide that availability. Because when you're an employee, you're basically guaranteed 40 hours a week, maybe some overtime. You've got a place to go to work. You've got some benefits. But when you work for yourself, all that goes away, doesn't it?
Right. when you're an employee, you're not paying the rent and the insurance and the taxes and all the supplies. You don't have any idea, unless you happen to work in accounting,
mm-hmm.
what it's costing to run that business. You just sit back and collect your paycheck and work your job.
Mm-hmm.
Probably work it very hard and very well. I'm not trying to discount that. But it is very different being an employee and being the owner of the business and having to look at all the things that it takes to run a business. The fact that you're a home-based business may or may not mean that you're going to pay rent. If you're a corporation, it may be some tax advantage for you to pay a portion of the mortgage of the house.
Mm-hmm.
Those are expenses. Some of these expenses can be put off until you've got an income coming in. Other expenses are going to have to come out of your pocket right now.
Mm-hmm.
So you can sort of plan for what the beginning, the first year or so of your business is going to be if you sit down and try and estimate some things. Such as, are you going to have to put a telephone in? Is it going to be a separate line with a separate bill? And if so, that is something you have to plan for. Do you need stationery and business cards and envelopes and all those things? What's the printing cost going to be on that? How often do you anticipate having to reprint those items? Are you going to need any new equipment? Are you going to have subscriptions to trade magazines and publications?
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to have internet access because that's part of your business? What is that going to cost you on a monthly basis? How much do you anticipate putting out for meetings to go networking? Are you going to join the local chamber of commerce or other professional groups? What are their annual fees and what are their monthly meeting fees?
Which, even though they're going to cost you money to join, could be some of the quickest routes to prospects.
Absolutely. It's the
could
greatest place. Greatest place in the world to market.
Yeah.
If you pick your places right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a whole different topic.
Right.
When you sit down and try and get an estimate on those things, you will get at least a ballpark figure of what it's going to cost you to do business. And then you need to understand, what do you have to have in the form of income for yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Because these things are all, that whatever money comes in first takes care of those things. Then you've got to pay yourself. Nobody's in business just for the fun of it. We all want to get paid. So how much money do you need to make? How much money do you want to make? And if you add all these things up and divide them by the number of billable hours you anticipate having, and that's another whole formula,
mm-hmm.
then you come up with a figure. Now, once you have that figure, you're probably going to sit back and go, oh, gee, I didn't know I could charge that much.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go and look,
probably still not enough, though.
Probably still not enough. You're absolutely right. I always tell people to add at least 10 or 15% to that figure. And then you may be somewhere in the ballpark. But there are ways to then turn around and sort of do a checking to see whether or not it is a reasonable amount of money to be charging.
Well, one of the things you've got to do is you've got to take the capital items, the computer, the fax machine, the desk, the chair, things like that. You can't load that up into and you can't expense that on your little planning there.
Right.
Early on, you've got to take those items and estimate their life and amortize them. Mm-hmm. In other words, if you think your computer is going to be, it may work fine a year from now, but it may be out of date.
Right.
So you probably need to amortize your computer over a year. Your copier will probably last you 2 or 3 years. Your
mm-hmm.
fax machine will last you 4 or 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Your desk will last you 20 years. So
mm-hmm.
you have to sort of divide that up, and that'll help. That'll keep you from having to. It'll keep you from overinflating your requirements at the beginning.
Right. Well, and it goes back to those professionals that I urge people to have in their business life from the mm-hmm. very first, and that is the advice of a lawyer for legal concerns, and definitely an accountant or CPA that can help you with these types of things.
Right.
They can tell you how to amortize and which ones to do.
Yeah. Beverly, when we come back, I want to talk about the amount of time you can actually expect to bill in an average week or month,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to the time that you have to all go out and market and sell what you have to do. So let's talk about that when we come back. It's 39 After. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back with Beverly Williams. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, 888-822-8255. We are back. It's 44 After. Thank you very much for joining us. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our special guest is Beverly Williams. She's the president and the founder of the American Association of Home-Based Businesses. I want to remind you, coming up in the next hour, Gene Greisman is going to be joining us again, and he's going to be talking to us about time tactics, how to use your time wisely, how to make sure that you don't lose your time and that you are as productive as possible. And his book is called The Time Tactics of Very Successful People by Gene Greisman, and that's coming up in the next hour. Beverly, we've talked about all the different expenses that you have and when you're running your home-based business and all the reasons why you can justify charging your customers $50 an hour, your clients $50 an hour for your home, for the services you provide out of your home. When maybe the last job you had, you made $15 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked about all that, but one of the things we haven't talked about yet, which is kind of, it's a little bit of an insidious part of being a service provider out of a home-based business, or even not a home-based business, just a service provider, and that is the time that you have to work to support your business that you can't bill the customer for.
That's right.
For every hour that you bill a customer for, you may work two more behind the scenes that you can't bill for.
Mm-hmm. Exactly right. And people do forget to take that into account. Not only do you have your own time, but when you look at, let me go back and say, some people say, well, in my home-based business, I have the ability to work more than 40 hours a week or more than 8 hours a day. Well, that's fine, but you do have to remember that some of that time is not going to be in the evenings or on the weekends. You're going to have to be going out to meetings,
mm-hmm.
getting clients, going to networking opportunities, maybe even passing out flyers on cars in parking lots, whatever your business may be. You're going to have to do some marketing. You're going to have to do a lot of marketing.
And that's non-billable hours.
Those are non-billable hours. You also are going to spend some time running to the store to get supplies. If you've had some customers already, you need to spend some time doing invoicing and keeping your records up to date, maybe doing
mm-hmm.
some filing in your office.
Accounting, your own accounting.
That's right. All those administrative duties that you're going to be doing for your business are non-billable hours. So you have to take those things into account. If you are going to, well, let's say, for instance, you have a chamber event at 7 o'clock in the evening, and it's going to run until about 9, and you usually stay until at least 8:30, quarter of. So there's an hour and a half to 2 hours out of your time, but it may take you 20 minutes to drive there as well, plus some getting ready time. It may actually end up being 3 or 4 hours out of your time to go to an hour and a half to 2 hour event to do some networking.
When I started my consulting business, I marketed during the day,
mm-hmm.
and eventually, gradually, I was able to do work during the day at a client's office or for them during the day. But for the most part, for over a year, I spent almost my whole day marketing. And then the work that I would get while I was out marketing, I would go out and call on people and close them on some business, deliver a proposal, and get them to agree to let me do some work for them. Then I would do that work at night.
Right.
I'd come home, and for the first year or so, almost all my billable hours were conducted at dark. Mm-hmm. I mean, after dark.
Right.
And because I was so busy getting networking and getting the word out that I had this business and that I was available. For a long time that I didn't bill many hours during the day.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I can remember when I finally got enough business that I could actually not do that as much anymore. Whenever I would be working in my office in the middle of the day, I actually felt a little bit guilty.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
because you were not marketing?
Yeah, because I've been doing that at the other so long. I said, wait a minute, what am I doing here? This is weird. It's daylight and I'm working in my office.
Well, and there's... It's interesting that some people become so obsessed with billable hours that they are working way too many hours,
mm-hmm.
and other people are concerned about overbilling or underbilling and don't know how to keep track of their time.
That's a really important point right there. Keeping track of your time is very critical.
Well, especially when you're home-based and you may get interrupted to do other things, particularly if you have children or other things going on, how can you be true to your client? With my desktop publishing business, I actually developed a timesheet, one for different, so that I could put down different client names.
Right.
I may get interrupted and have to work on somebody else's piece for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I build in 15-minute increments. And so I had 15-minute time slots, and I would actually put a start and a stop time. And if I got interrupted by a telephone call that had nothing to do with their work,
mm-hmm.
and it was going to be a while, I would actually stop my time billing for
yes.
that client and then resume after the phone call.
And so I will tell you, the better you're able to demonstrate to your client how you bill,
right.
and the more detail you can give them in your bill, the more they will appreciate that.
Exactly.
And what you will find is that if you do that, you will probably be more be doing a more professional job than most lawyers and accountants that I know.
Yeah.
My clients have told me that they wish their other professionals had billed them as comprehensively as I did.
Right. Well, it is important to them, particularly when you're a home-based business. I think there's some concern about whether or not you're really working.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you get the job done, did it really take that long?
Right. Well, and that I think a lot of that goes to the way the person that you're working for, how they feel about working for consultants. And that's another thing we need to talk about when we come back, is some people are used to working with consultants and some are not, and that can be a problem. Stand by, Beverly. We're going to take a break. It's 50 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Stay with us, please. All right, we're back. It's 54 after. Thank you very much for joining me. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and you're listening to the show that's providing small business owners with the maximum opportunity to be successful. And that one of the people who helps us do that, one of the individuals who helps us do that, is Beverly Williams. She's our guest and our good friend, the president and the founder of the American Association of Home-Based Businesses. Beverly, give us your website one more time, please.
That's www.aahbb.org.
Mm-hmm.
And we have an 800 number at 1-800-447-9710.
If you are a home-based business owner, if you are a home-based business dreamer, and you don't pay $30 to join the AAHBB, I don't know what's wrong with you. No, seriously, folks, it's a great value. I'm telling you, you need to join an organization like them, like the AAHBB, and let them be part of your world, because you will not regret it. Beverly, one of the things when I tell people, we're talking about pricing yourself, folks, and making sure that you price your work in your home-based business, assuming we're making the assumption that you are a service company, because you don't need pricing help probably if you're selling a product. And when I tell people that they ought to be charging $40 an hour, they immediately multiply by 40, and they say, wow, you mean I can make $1,600 a week?
Yeah, right.
Well, you know, and then when I tell them, yeah, but you may only be able to bill 2 hours this week.
Mm-hmm.
Most do the math on that.
Mm-hmm.
And then they say, well, wait a minute, that's $80. What happened to $1,600? I said, yeah, well, that's the reality.
Right. Not only that, one of the things people forget to do is to put money aside, because that money doesn't come in consistently every week.
And you've got to pay taxes.
Mm-hmm.
On that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot of fun to be a home-based business owner. It's a lot of fun to be a small business owner, but it is also can be a little complicated.
That's right. Well,
you have to understand how it works.
It's a good thing that there is a great deal of pleasure in being a business owner, whether home-based or otherwise. As you said, it's a lot of fun. There's great rewards, but there's a lot of headache and planning and worrying that goes with it.
There's so many similarities. Owning a home-based business has so many similarities to having children.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't it? Don't you agree?
Oh, and you're absolutely right.
I mean, I love my children more than anything in the world, but how many times would I have liked to pinch their heads off? How many times did I say, you know, I didn't know I was getting into all this, but I wouldn't take anything for them.
No, absolutely.
And I wouldn't take anything for my business, and it's very similar. You have to be passionate about what you're doing.
Yes.
And sometimes your passion can override your common sense when it comes to pricing
mm-hmm.
yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you do need
to be
careful.
Very practical.
You do have to be practical. There's some things that you can do to sort of double check to see if you are in the right price range or not. First of all, I hope that you've done some market research and know what your competitors are charging.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, there's almost, I don't know of any group that doesn't have an association for it somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a directory at the library called the Gales Directory of Associations that you can go to and find the association in your field. First of all, I urge you to join it so you stay up with what's going on in your field. But you might also call them and find out if they've done an industry standards on pricing.
Mm-hmm.
And they may be able to give you some guidelines that will help you understand whether or not you're in the right place.
Right.
But your customers are going to let you know, too, if you're too far out of whack.
Right. If a local lawyers are charging $125 an hour, you're probably not going to be able to charge $125 an hour.
That's right. you need to be reasonable.
Yeah.
But you also need to make
Beverly,
sure...
I have to interrupt you.
Okay.
I apologize.
That's all
We're
right.
going to have to pick up on this. We got to wrap it up for this hour.
Boy, time goes fast.
It does. When you're having fun, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Thanks, Beverly. We'll see you next week.
I'll be here.
Have a good one. Beverly Williams, ladies and gentlemen, with the AHBB. Got to wrap it up for this hour. Before I go, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest country in the world. And remember today, be guilty of committing a random act of kindness. This is Jim Blassingame, a small business advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.